This morning's public reading picks up from John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 and following. Now, once again, John chapter 8, John chapter 6, as far as Bob is concerned, these are two mountain peaks. These are the Mount Everests, 1 and 2, of this particular Gospel. John 6, John 8, Jesus pulls no punches. Jesus doesn't kowtow to the people. Matter of fact, Jesus doesn't even interpret what he's saying. He just repeats it over and over until finally in John chapter 8, they want to reach for the stones and just simply silence his mouth. Because again, they couldn't debate him, just like they couldn't debate Charlie Kirk. So what do? We silence his mouth. What do with Jesus? We put him on a cross and keep him silent. Well, John chapter 8, we're going to pick up verse 42. Here Jesus is telling them, you claim to be Abraham's biological children by way of, father making a child. Genealogically speaking, biologically, you are Abraham's physical blood descendants. But when it comes to Abraham being your spiritual father by the new birth, you're trying to kill me. Abraham would not have done that. But you're trying to kill me. So Jesus denies their attachment to Abraham in the spiritual vein, not the biological vein. Okay, with that as the kind of pick up where we left off, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, that's automatically. Jesus here is implying right out of the gate, you're religious, yes, but you're not my children. You're not truly saved. You got religion, I grant you. You got your rules and regulations, I get you. You got your ceremonies, you got the seven feasts that you do every year, I get you, I hear you. But if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So Jesus didn't send himself. He was on a mission by his father that was devised even before creation. Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus asks the question, like I asked the question in the last hour. How come you do not comprehend? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now we're going to come back to that later. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now how in the world can someone be a born-again believer and a child of the devil at the same time? That's not taught in Scripture. You were once a child of Satan. Agreed. Wholeheartedly, all of us were. But in salvation, God adopts us into his family. He pulls us out of that darkness and into light. He takes us out of death and gives us eternal life. And the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a father, and for every politician who may be hearing me, he is the father of it. So all the lies coming out of Congress, all the lies coming out of the state capitol, all the lies coming out of the city council, all the lies coming out of the city dog catcher, denotes the fact that all these people are attached to only one daddy, and it's not the King of Glory, it's the devil. And because I tell you the truth, notice I'm telling you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Here Jesus opens himself as if he was on trial in this instance in front of all these people and says, which one of you can lay one charge, one lie, one bit of gossip, stealing a government pen from off the desk there. Name one lie. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Now watch this. Because ye, his audience, are not of God. Please be seated. And may God bless his word. But remain open. This is the heart of John chapter 8. This is where Jesus literally nails them to the wall. Now, again, I'm going to bring out the snippets. I'm going to show you certain things. The question is, do you have ears to hear? And do you have a heart to receive what Jesus is actually saying? Earlier in this confrontation, in our last reading, they said, "We be of Abraham. Abraham is our daddy." And Jesus said, "Yes, in one sense, in one way, you are Abraham's descendants." And he's talking about a genealogical bloodline, a family tree, procreation that's done between a man and a woman. Yes, in that sense, spot on. But when it comes to being quickened and awakened, John chapter 3, one who's been born from above, one who's been given a new heart, a new will, new affections, a new mind, a new ability to understand, you don't have that. What does he say in that verse 47? He that is of God heareth us. Now, as I mentioned before, and I don't think I have a marker, but in the Authorized Version, in the King James, this is the beauty of the King James. Any verb that ends with E-T-H, like in my account here, he that is of God heareth God's word. The translators want you to know that that verb to hear is in the action tense of ongoing, meaning it's not an action that you've done 3 years ago, but now you never do it. It's a continual action. A child of God is an individual who loves and who enjoys coming to God's word when it's given, when it's available, when you read it in the privacy of your home, when we read it in the church, when we hear it preached in Sunday school or whatever format. We love to hear God's word. We have a passion to hear the truth. He that is of God heareth God's word. That's one indicator whereby you can judge yourself, as we shall see in this hour, whether or not you're a child of God. You meet the common Joe on the street and you begin to share the gospel and they simply bristle. How dare you judge me? I'm not judging you. God's word's already judged you. I'm just telling you that there's a Savior who can address your problem of sin and judgment. Ye therefore hear them not. Christ is not talking whether or not these guys have turned off their battery to their bell tone hearing aid. They're hearing Jesus with the outer ear. Jesus is addressing the inner ear, the mind, where you hear, you comprehend, you understand, and then you decide. He says to them, "You don't believe me, and you don't hear. Because ye are not of God." Jesus is looking at a first century Jewish audience of Jews. Every male has been circumcised. They follow the dietary law to the nth degree. They meet on Friday evening, the Saturday evening, the weekly Sabbath. They go through all the holidays on the Jewish calendar, Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Booths, the Day of Atonement, Rosh Hashanah, to usher in the new Jewish New Year, which is in the month of September. All of that, all that motion, all that energy. And Jesus looks at them and says, "You're not mine. You're not biblical." That's what he's saying, if you didn't catch it. Go back to verse 42 quickly. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father." Notice, Jesus didn't say, "I know you are of God." He says, "If." If you really were attached to my Father by faith, you would love me. So here's the second test on whether or not you and I have been quickened and made alive in Christ. Not only do I love to hear the word of God, even though at times it tramples on my feet, do I love God? Do I have a passionate love for my Creator? For I proceeded forth from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? He also, see, Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus always asked a laundry list of questions. Sometimes he didn't give too many answers, but he sure fired off many questions. How come you don't understand me? 30 AD, first century Jews. You all claim to be from the 12 tribes of Israel, and I would agree in one sense, physically speaking, on a family tree or in some genealogical chart hid up in the attic, yes. But when it comes to spiritual attachment, you being a believer in me and trusting in me as your only hope, as your only Savior, He says to them, what? Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Remember back in school days, you want to go to the bathroom? Miss Smith? Yeah, Bobby? Can I go to the bathroom? Are you crippled? Can you walk? Oh, yes. How about you rephrase that request? Oh, may I go to the bathroom? You may. See, the word may I is seeking permission. When Jesus says you cannot hear me, that's the inability on their part to really hear with the ear. How often did Jesus make the comment, he who has an ear, let him hear? Again, Jesus was not talking and somebody was off to the side doing sign language. They heard him with this ear. But when it came to the mind was dead, dead in sin. It was lifeless. So what they heard here went no farther than the outer ear. Because what did he say earlier? Why do you desire to kill me? All the while Jesus is saying this, they're looking at the stones on the ground. Which ones to reach? And then verse 46, Jesus asks another question. He's always asking questions. Which one of you can nail me to the wall with just one sin? And they could not. He that is of God, verse 47, heareth God's word continually. Now, it doesn't mean every waking moment you're over there washing the dishes, or Brother Hutton here, he's doing his job out there for the sake of our farmers. He's not out there, you know, reading a Bible and then driving some big heavy piece of equipment and just plowing over people because he's too busy reading a Bible. We're not advocating that. But there's that attitude within us. We love to hear the word of God. We love to be with other of God's people. We love to be under the sound of God's word. We cherish God's word because it is food and drink for the soul. That's what Jesus is saying. But that verse 44, now let me show you how the liberals get around this. I heard this 50 years ago. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, no truth in Satan. When Satan speaketh a lie, Satan speaks of his own. For Satan is a liar and the father of it. You know how the liberals get around this? Because see, in Reformed preaching, we tell men, women, and children, unless you are saved, you are under the dominion and the power of darkness. And that dominion, that kingdom, has a king, has a prince of darkness, Satan. Pastor Bob, don't you realize that in the 21st century, you can't look at people in the church pew and tell them that if they're not saved, they belong to the devil? You're not going to build up your choir that way. You're not going to improve on that praise band. You want to tell people that God loves them and that the devil is simply a side issue. You know what the liberals say? Pastor Bob, you don't realize that when Jesus said, verse 44, that his audience were of the devil, he was implying a first century audience. He was never applying it to you and I in the 21st century. They're wrong. Anyone who's not saved, I don't care who they are, I don't care what station in life, I don't care their money flow, I don't care their genes, I don't care about the color of their skin, I don't care what they claim below the belt, male, female, or whatever, if they are not saved, they belong to the wicked one until such time as they are rescued by Christ from that grip of Satan. I make no apologies for that. Well, that's another excerpt. Beloved, it's going to get even worse in the next reading. This is just this crescendo. That's why I didn't want to read all 59 verses and call it good. I want to break it down and have you and to be a fly on the wall to have heard this exchange. And Jesus had the nerve in verse 47, ye therefore hear them not, because God is not your God. Can you imagine telling somebody who's raised in some type of Christian religion, with all the trappings of religion, you know, ceremony, ritual, and then for someone like that to be awakened by the gospel and to realize that all those years they were in that system, it was more of a judgment upon them than the means to save them. The worst type of people to share the gospel are religious people. The atheist and the agnostic, piece of cake. We know we're enemies. We know we're on opposite sides of the seesaw. But a religious person? Try to convince a Roman Catholic that if he dies without Christ, he's on the road to hell. Ooh. They put the boxing gloves on. Religion, dead formal religion, is one of the greatest tricks the devil has ever pawned off mankind. Well, may God choose to bless his word.